I invite you to turn to Genesis 26. Genesis chapter 26. We want to read three verses in Genesis 26 and seek, by the grace of God, to fit it into the context and then into the fuller context of our lives. Verse 15, speaking of Isaac, it says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them." Now this is important. We may think many times that these things are unimportant, but the Holy Spirit has been pleased to give to us the names of the well. Why has he done it? If it isn't important, it is important. So we notice in verse 19, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of water, a well of stream water, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Tonight I want to just talk a little bit about redigging the well. Redigging the well. In the word of God, a well speaks of that which is refreshing and life-giving and comes from the Lord. Our Lord to the woman of Samaria in John 4, he said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." It's an amazing thing that Isaac, in the Word of God, is not merely the illustrious person that his father Abraham was or that his son Jacob became. We can say of Isaac, he was a son of a great father and the father of a great son, but he himself was very mediocre. And it's amazing how Isaac made the same mistake that his father made, if you read the whole of the context in Genesis chapter 26. His father made that same mistake twice. He lied about Sarah, his wife. He did it back in chapter 13, when under test he went down to Egypt. And he did it again when he sojourned in Gerar in Genesis chapter 20. And Isaac is now journeying in Gerar. Abimelech is of chapter 26 is not the same as the Abimelech of chapter 20. Abimelech is simply a title like Pharaoh that the Philistines had for their king. And you'll notice when you read this passage that Isaac is now a very rich man. He has flocks and herds, and God had abundantly blessed him. But there's something in Isaac's life right at this point that we need to pay attention to, for it's something that throws light on our own lives. If it was good for Isaac, if it was necessary for him to redig wells, I believe it is necessary for us to redig some wells also. And the first thing we want to notice from this passage is that every generation must know God for itself. The fact that Abraham's father drank deeply and richly from the refreshing spring, that could never slake the thirst of Isaac. And because my father enjoyed the things of God, and because my father was godly, and he knew how to pray, and he prayed, that doesn't mean that I can get by and that will quench my thirst for God. It will not do it. the young man had to redig the well and find the life-giving water for himself. This is very important. And this is a very large error, I'm afraid, in the Christian church today. The God of our fathers has not become the God of the Son. We need to take this to heart. I had the joy as a young man of growing up in a Christian home where the Word of God is revered. We made time for Scripture. We made time for it. More than that, I had the privilege every month of attending a Bible conference where men expounded the Word of God. This is important. We have it in the city. Every month, there was a Bible conference. And when I was dating Phyllis, she knew not to expect me in the third Sunday of the month. That was Bible conference weekend. That was more important at that time. And I'm not saying that with a smile, and you all can smile over that, but I'll tell you this. I knew that when I made the commitment to marriage, that would be for life. And I knew that I can only get the Bible conference now, and therefore I needed it now. That's what you call discipline. And this discipline I find missing. I find it missing today. Our priorities are not there. I believe we need to redig the well. That Isaac dug the wells that his father had. That stalwart faith that was tested and proved by the father is often only theory and even a myth with the present generation. And men have largely confused the knowledge of God with a character which results from that knowledge. Do we know God? Our fathers travailed in faith. They labored and they lived their lives from God, for God. And we have entered into their labors. We have reaped where they had sown to a large extent. We have profited from their piety. All you need to do is read the Puritans and the works of the early brethren. And I'll tell you, beloved, we're reaping where they have sowed. And yet, with many, this is just a formal faith. It's just a formal thing. Or going through the motions. This is not life. This is just a reflection of life. We need to redig the wells. During the Depression, I understand that when people were really hard hit, the cry was, back to the land. For the land was the best thing that you could buy. And the most primary source of wealth. Well, beloved, during a time of depression, our cry must not be back to the land, but back to the book. For the Word of God is that wellspring that we need. We need personal salvation. A contact ourselves with the Lord of glory. For the scripture says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water. Verse 18. He digged it. In other words, we have to personally know God for ourselves. The knowledge my parents had is not satisfactory. I must dig. I must redig the well. Now we have to redig our own well. We have to redig our own well. It is not enough to live on the strength of past blessings. Past blessings will not avail. Often we need to redig the springing wells of blessing that once flowed in our own lives. How many Christians are parched and dry? Brother Sutton often comes to me and he says, what's wrong? A lot of our brethren don't participate at the Lord's Supper. He often asks me this question. Parched and dry. Yet there was a time that overflowed with joy and gladness. How many hearts feel hopeless over ever regaining that glorious flush of blessing that transformed them? You get to the place where you want to give up. My prayer is that God gives us a divine discontent with our present possession, that we too, with Isaac, begin again to dig again the well, as he did. Now the third thing I'd like you to notice is that springs of water are to be found in the most unlikely places. Now the land where Isaac dug was arid enough. It was desert land, really. And all must have seemed very discouraging to him. But the fact that his father had dug, and his father had found, and his father drank deep of the water and the refreshment that was there. And you can say, beloved, all the springs that lie hidden, only waiting to be tapped. The well needs to be redug. Now the question could be asked, why do we need to redig the well? Well, because wells don't open of themselves. A lot of times we have the idea, well, the well's going to open all of itself one of these days. It isn't going to do it. You see, the sandstorms of the desert filled the well. And it's easy to let the sandstorms of the world, little by little, choke the well. You see, there's a need for constant cleansing. But the scripture here tells us that these wells were choked and stopped up by the Philistines. The Philistines had stopped them up. Now these wells had no value to the Philistines. They had no value to them. If they did, they wouldn't have stopped them up. No value whatsoever. You see, one might wonder why anyone would want to stop up that which is so precious as a well. Yet the Philistines did it. Likewise, one might expect, why would anyone want to stop up the well of living water? The well that springs up. You'd think that it would be prized in a world of drought and deposition. No, it isn't. For 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. The Philistines clogged the wells. Beloved, there are many Philistines today who set themselves to oppose the truth and stop up the wells of blessing in those who dig them. Isaac had to redig the well that the Philistines had set, that his father Abraham had dug. What are some of these wells that we need to redig? I'd like to mention at least four. One of them is the well of the Word of God. Men have done their best to choke and pollute the life-giving well of the Word of God. In every generation, beloved, you have to take a stand for truth. There isn't a one Bible doctrine that you can mention that has not, in the history of the Christian church, been hammered out on the anvil of strife and had to be defended and defined and stated and restated generation after generation. I can just give you a brief illustration. My father was saved out of Lutheranism when he was over 40 years of age, close to 50. He was a deacon, but he never knew the Lord. Now, my dad knew the Word of God, but you see, I took what my dad said, and when I was in high school, I had a preacher for a science teacher. And I thought that Doc Etter, that's what we called him, his last name is Etter, E-T-T-E-R, first name is Russell, and I thought old Doc knew everything. And I tell you, the things that I brought from home that I was supposed to believe because I was taught them, it wasn't long until I didn't believe any of them. Doc turned me upside down, spiritually. And I stayed that way until I redug the well. And I found the truth for myself that my father is telling me. And beloved, if we aren't willing to redig the wells of the Word of God, we're going to have to find the refreshing springs that our fathers found, that they labored for, and that they fought for. They redug the well. Now those words that once thrilled the heart are still life-giving. It never loses its power. And those words still retain the power to quench the thirst of the heart. The Word of God is the first well that the Philistines have set about to pollute and to stop. The second one is the well of prayer. How needful prayer is it? It's easy to stop. How often prayer is stopped. Are you a praying believer? The man who isn't praying, or the woman who isn't praying, is not enjoying real blessing nor real fellowship with God. We're not. When I talk about praying, I don't mean going through the same ritual all the time. I believe in getting down to business with God in prayer. In many churches today, people must be bribed to pray. I can take you to some big churches where in order to get people out to pray, they come there for supper on a Wednesday night. And a lot of the people that come from supper or for supper, they leave before prayer time. I know this to be a fact. The wellspring of prayer has been stopped. And beloved, just because we gather on a Wednesday night, we can say, oh, thank God we still have a prayer meeting. Thank God we still pray. The brethren, are we praying? Are we praying? Isaac had to redig the wells that were stopped up by the Philistines. There's a third wellspring, the wellspring of the Spirit's fullness. The fullness of the Spirit. To many of God's people today, we must ask the question that Paul asked the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. Where is the blessedness ye speak of? Where is it? Where's the blessing and the blessedness we once enjoyed in the things of God? Where is it? And beloved, these things are real. The Philistines can stop up the wells. And the wells have to be redug. Daily we need to appropriate the blessings of the Spirit in order that faith may be revived and refreshed. The well of the Word of God. The well of prayer, the well of the Spirit's fullness, the well of joy. Nehemiah, who built the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days, when you read of that work, they had a mind to work. They worked from dark until the stars shone at night. And they worked with a sword and a trowel. Because of the enemies. They had continuous pressure to keep them from the task that God had assigned to them. But once the wall was built, and as Nehemiah speaks in that great 8th chapter, when there was a great time of blessing, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, a joyless believer is a libel to his master. A joyless believer is a contradiction in terms. For the word of God says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. David, when he spoke of the joy of salvation in the 51st Psalm, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, then shall I teach transgressors my way, thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In the 12th chapter of Isaiah, and the 3rd verse, we read, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. The joy of the Lord. A joyless Christian is a contradiction in terms. But then, there comes a time when it isn't easy to redig the well. There comes a time when it isn't easy to redig the well. Isaac found it so. This was a difficult task. The Philistine strove with him when he had his servants redig the well. It meant striving, verse 20. It tells you so. The herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. It was in the land that God had given Abraham. Abraham had previously dug the well. He knew the refreshment that came from the Lord. And you see, the striving of verse 20 meant sweat, toil, labor. But I'll tell you this, a person who is determined to redig the well won't have to dig long until they meet both the refreshment and the blessing of our great God. So it was with the servants of Isaac. Now, very quickly, he named the wells. And I thought it was very interesting that the wells were named. For verse 20 tells us, he gave the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. In other words, Esek means striving. That's what it meant. And it really means contention. And every cardinal truth, beloved, has been contended by the enemy. If you read the story of Athanasius in the 3rd century, when the doctrine of the Trinity, and especially the deity of Christ, was a great subject. It is the subject of the first epistle of John. John saw the inroads of heresy, the heresy of the Docete, or the heresy of Docetism, was setting in. And John writes the first epistle of John, and when you get to the second epistle of John, he emphasizes that. And after the death of the apostles, and John was the last one, from there on it was a battle, until Athanasius was a man who really stood, and he stood his ground for the truth of the deity of Christ. And beloved, for a period of time, the well of the deity of Christ in the church age was stopped up by the Philistines, if I may use that expression. And these men had to redig it. And when I think of the wells that were redug during the Reformation period, when Luther and Calvin redug the wells, and I think of the great well that was redug during the early days of the brethren, the truth of the coming of the Lord. Oh, what a wellspring it was. What a joy it was. Beloved, the wells are important. And there's a striving. No truth comes easy. It doesn't. He named the well Esau. That was the name of it. But then, the second one was Sitna, verse 21, which means contempt. To lie in wait as an adversary. And from that word sitna, that according to John Phillips, the word sitna is derived from the same root word that we get the word sitten. To lie adversary. And beloved, we have an adversary in Satan. And there's one thing I continually tell myself, and I've told other believers this. No matter what another believer ever does, that person is never my enemy. Another Christian can never be my enemy. He's part of the body. Now, he may be used, or she may be used of the enemy, but that person is never the enemy. Never. And I can't treat that person as an enemy. You see, they're not the enemy. I have to see the real enemy. The enemy is Satan. And we need to learn this. And we have to learn this. You see, the second well that was dug, that was named, was sitna, contempt. Contempt, or to lie in wait as an adversary. And they strove over that one also. Satan doesn't leave when he's at first defeated. He always comes right back. He always comes right back. But then there's a third well that was dug. And we notice in verse 22, he called the name of it Rehoboth. And it seems they didn't strive anymore. It was a great well, it appears. And Isaac can now say, the Lord hath made room for us. In other words, Rehoboth means not striven for. It's not worth fighting over. And it almost makes you think how careless the world is for the things of God. Isaac dug the well. He wanted the refreshment. You see, when Satan realizes that we're determined, we've taken that adversary bite out of him, and it shows the carelessness of the world for the things of God. Redigging the well. Beloved, when I think of redigging well, I think of reclaiming truth and making truth ours, that once blessed in a mighty way the Church of Jesus Christ. Every generation has to redig the well. This doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't. It has to be dug. The wells have to be dug, have to be digged. For the Philistines are ever there to clog. Now, beloved, the world is full of Philistines. Those that want to oppose the things of God. There's hardly a family that I know today that he's not having difficulty in one way or another. Satan is active. Let's get the refreshment that God has made available by redigging the well. It's there. It's ours to receive. It's ours to have. It's ours to be refreshed by. Now let's pray. Loving Father, we ask for grace in order that we may redig the wells and that the refreshment will flow through us to others. The Lord Jesus could say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Give to us, our God, the joy of redigging the well of the Word of God. Redigging the well of prayer. Redigging the well of the Spirit's fullness. And redigging the well of joy. Grant it, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.